Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of We Watch Shudder. My name is Michelle, and who's here with me?
It's JD, and who else is here with us?
It's me, Jenna.
Yeah, it's Jenna. Yay!
The one that they make fun
Jenna
of a
who
lot.
Never watches the movie,
it's,
Jenna.
It's a real person. We didn't just make it up. It's not an actor that we hired to come in and pretend to be the Jenna that we just made up. She's a real person. Did you watch this week's movie at least?
The one that I picked?
Yes.
I guess we'll see.
Oh, Jesus.
No.
I don't know.
I was about to say you should tell him some of the ideas you had for what to suggest, but now I'm concerned you went with one of the ideas of what you.
Oh no, we'll we should definitely do that. But I just want to say welcome to the show. Thanks for coming to hang out with us. Shudder's new drop this week is Late Night with the Devil, which of course Michelle and I already talked about because we all went to see it. When it was released theatrically. Michelle, we should probably get Jenna's thoughts on that movie, though, since people don't know, right? Should we start there, just as a tip of the hat to today's release?
Yeah.
But you have to give spoiler-free, on-the-spot improv thoughts, so good
yeah.
luck.
Oh, boy.
Have at it.
It took some effort.
Skipped everything. We didn't do no therapy portion. We didn't do no banter. I just said, fucking let's go, Jenna. Tell us some shit.
Just right
about
into
the
it.
The movie we are not doing the episode
yeah,
about.
I did go see it with you guys. And honestly, my favorite part is when the movie was done and the two of you realized that you had drastically differing opinions on it. And like sitting between you for that little snippet of conversation and you're both like, we need to go home and record right now. We got to get out of
this
here. No
must
more talking.
Happen. Yes.
And JD is trying to be very vocal about his opinion in the way that he does. And I'm like, JD, shut the fuck up. Go home. Go home. Stop talking to people about how you feel.
I can't not express myself. It's
yeah.
Michelle was like, oh, okay. And JD's like, am I taking crazy pills right now? What is happening?
Like, oh my God, yes, you are. But get home. Get home.
Yeah.
I swear randomly, like, yeah, I felt like you were randomly just polling people in the hallway on like the way out. And you're like, what, did you like that?
It wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time at all that I've done that. I did just happen to know quite a few of the people who were at that screening. So, yeah, I was definitely asking people what they thought. But, it was we had opinions. But you enjoyed the film?
Yeah, you know what? I did. I know during your guys' episode, you said that there's probably not like an in-between person. But I'm kind of the in-between person.
Wonderful.
Of course you are.
I liked it a lot. I think if I were to give it a score, I'd probably say like 3.5 skulls. I do
That's
need to watch it again.
You
know, maybe there's some things on a second watch that I might
for sure.
like better or less. But there was a lot of things I enjoyed about it. The stuff that I didn't enjoy is just because I was expecting something a little different, and that's on me, not really on the movie. You know, I can't make it do what I want it to do. And I don't know what I wanted it to be different anyways, but just something, some other parts.
Something that wasn't this.
Yeah, there was just some parts that I wanted to be different, but there was a lot I enjoyed that the actress that played that girl
was great.
So amazing at that character and just making you feel very uncomfortable. And it just captured that kind of campy late night show vibe of that era really well too. I don't know. It was a fun watch, but I'd like to see it again just to kind of critique it a little bit better, I guess.
Yeah, I was definitely the least satisfied with this film. But even I, now that it's dropped on Shudder, I definitely want to go back and watch it again and see, because I think a lot of my experience was also a little bit of that. I had some preconceived ideas about what I thought it was going to be, and then it did some things that were drastically different than what I thought it was going to do. But I definitely want to see it again, and I think everybody who can should go check it out. It's David Dastmalchian is fantastic in it. The girl whose name unfortunately I don't know is great.
Yeah, Michelle, no matter what, I'd highly encourage everybody to see it and stream it now. Just it's something else for that matter. For sure. It's good, but yeah,
If it's still playing in theaters near you, go buy a ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's this week's show. Thanks everybody for coming out. Tune in again next week when Jen replaces me as a co-host.
Yeah, with all my deep insight on movies. It was fine. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that a lot of the time. Okay, should we get to this week's movie?
Yeah. So we brought Jenna on because we already did that big late night with the devil thing. And so we said, as long as you're going to come hang out, you might as well pick the movie. Jenna, tell us what movie you brought us today.
Well, you know, this is technically the 420 episode.
Hey, and I feel Michelle mentioned just a few moments ago that you had some ideas for movies that you thought about doing. Why don't we do some of the things you thought about that we didn't pick, and then we'll tell them what we watched.
Well, the problem is what she and I discussed is not necessarily anything specific. We were just like, how about you pick a movie? How about I pick a movie? And then just completely troll you and like absolutely not watch it. And just
read reviews. Like, I read this review.
Basically have you and Michelle explain the movie to me.
Yeah.
So
my other idea that I really liked that I think you came up with was just watching all of Saw again and making do another 3-hour episode, because Jenna and I are very much into the Saw universe.
Michelle,
she has pages and pages and pages of notes.
I wrote this show down.
Yeah, I'm like, that might be too far for JD. I think he might actually walk away. Yeah, Michelle and I, went down a real deep Saw hole for a while there, and I wrote a really in-depth analysis of all the movies. It's probably like the biggest essay I've ever written in my life, and I don't know why or what I'm ever going to do with this content. And basically, it kind of boils down to how the whole Saw franchise is like a metaphor for 9/11, but we don't have time to get into that right now.
What? Okay, I don't know what you're gonna do with this either, but you need to send it to me immediately. I need to read this. It's a metaphor. What?
Yeah, it explains all 45 pages. The whole thing. So
fuck the movie we were gonna talk about. We landed on something here. Like, do you know enough of this that you could just give us a lecture right now? I'm kidding. We have a movie to talk about.
Thank God, because I have so many inappropriate jokes that I almost said. I don't think we can go down this. I am writing them down to tell you when we're not recording.
When it's not being recorded and that people can bring up a snippet of it later out of context.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea. So this is, technically like the 420 episode, and I feel like that's a holiday we can all get behind. And, I really wanted to pick something that's just going to bring everybody together. We all need to be united right now, no divisions. And so I wanted to pick a movie. It's very fun, has a little something for everybody, definitely brings that stoner humor. So we're going to talk about The Cabin in the Woods.
Yes, we are. Sorry, stoner humor. Excuse me for a moment. You guys talk.
I was
celebrating so early.
Yeah. I was originally going to pick Idle Hands because that's one of my like all-time favorite stoner horror movies, but there's really not that much to say about it. It's like, oh, that's a fun watch. It's got like all the best actors and actresses from 1999 in it.
That's the one where Seth Green has a bottle in his forehead, right?
Yep. Devin Sawa's hand gets
Jessica
possessed
Alba
by the
is
devil.
In that one.
Yep. Jessica Alba. Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 has like a really
Oh, I love
random
him.
cameo as like a fast food worker.
He's super into aliens now, and I
I was
love
gonna
the
say, is he the
Offspring.
one that's the alien guy, or is it the
Yeah.
other one?
Yeah, it
Yep.
is.
Nope, that's him.
Alien guy.
He's a big ufologist now.
Yep,
Ufologist.
ufologist.
The Offspring is like the band that's featured at the school
Oh,
dance. So it's got all the
love that.
1999 vibes going on. It's a good one,
Yeah,
but
I know I've seen it once, probably when it first came out on video back in 1999, but I may have to go check it out again.
I, you know
I
what?
don't remember disliking it for any reason, so.
Yeah, I do recommend. I watch it probably like once a year for some reason. I like see it advertised on a service somewhere. I'm like, yeah, I want to watch that. And I watched it like 2 weeks ago because I was thinking about what movie I was going to pick. I'm like, man, this is still a fun movie, but there's really not like enough to fill up a whole episode about it, probably.
Probably not. Michelle, have
Although,
you seen Idle Hands?
I haven't. I immediately wrote it down though.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, so
It's
I will be watching it because oh
fun.
my God, that sounds fantastic. I was super into Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
So
We
yeah, I
all were.
absolutely need to see it. Love
Yep.
him, especially
Wasn't
after revisiting Final Destination recently.
he also the guy in the Stan video? The
Yes,
Eminem
and he was
Stan
also
video?
Casper in the initial full-length Casper live-action film when
Casper the
Casper
Friendly
becomes a
Ghost.
human boy. That's Devon Sawa.
Oh.
And all young girls were like, damn, this ghost is hot.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my God, do I have a crush on Casper
Is
the ghost now?
Casper the ghost like a sexy teenage boy ghost?
Yeah, he's
That's
a friendly ghost, but like in a platonic way or in like a can we take this further kind
It
of
was
way?
very confusing.
Yeah. The word for orgasm in French translates to little death, and I feel
Yeah.
like that's very fitting when you're dating Casper. So we could
Little
both see the afterlife.
La petite mort.
La petite mort. Okay. Well, should
So
I
there's
read
a movie. So
the
we talked about Idle Hands. We talked a little bit about Casper the Friendly Ghost. Are we
Saw.
gonna talk?
We
Are we
got some
talk? Yeah.
saw.
Are we gonna
Some
talk
late
about
night.
The Cabin in the Woods?
Yeah, I just want to say one more really weird
Yes.
thing about Idle
Please.
Hands. Is
Please
I
do.
was looking because I always, for some reason, if there's a movie I like, or sometimes if a movie that I like really dislike, I like to look up like behind the scenes, like what was going on with the production and stuff of this. The director of Idle Hands is, I believe, Timothée Chalamet's uncle. I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense, but okay. Maybe I'm
His
wrong.
IMDb picture definitely looks like a guy who is related to Timothée Chalamet, so you may be onto something.
Yeah. Also, I'm
I'm interested.
celebrating 420 a little different this year. I have pneumonia
Oh.
right now. So I'm on
Woo
like 75 different steroid, codeine, cough syrup, antibiotic things right now. So I'm feeling something. I don't know what it is, but
I thought for a
did the
minute
kids at your
you were
high
gonna.
school, oh,
No, go
did the
ahead.
kids at your high school ever drink entire bottles of Robitussin to get high and called it Robo-trippin'?
I don't think so.
Okay, Robo-trippin' was huge at our high school. Oh, JD's raising his hand.
I've absolutely done that,
But
like
did you call
more
it
times than I can.
Robo-trippin'?
Yeah.
Robo-trippin'.
Oh my God. I thought that was unique to us.
So the cough suppressant dextromethorphan hydrobromide in small doses is a cough suppressant. In very, very large doses, it's a mild hallucinogen and dissociative. So if you chug like 8 ounces of Robitussin, it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's gross.
And you're probably gonna puke, but you should keep it down for about 45 minutes to an hour. Go ahead and pop, and you're gonna. I don't recommend you do this. I'm telling you, this is just a thing you can do, and it'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
Wow, I know how I'm spending my
Well,
Saturday.
I like a month ago got bronchitis and now it is like never fully recovered and that's how I have pneumonia now. So I've been taking a lot of cold medicine over the last month and I've been having a lot of like really fun dreams though. And I had a very vivid dream not too long ago that I found my dog's secret cell phone. And at first I was like, what?
Mojo's.
Yeah, my dog Mojo. I found his secret hidden cell phone. And at first I was like a concerned parent, like, what? What does he have a secret cell phone for? And then I was looking at his like Pinterest board, and it's like my favorite things. And it's like drawings of other dogs and like bacon and like his favorite ball. And I'm like, oh, this is really wholesome. And then I found a board called Communism. And then, so then I'm like, oh no, is my dog a secret communist? But also, apparently, I'm just so over life right now that even in my dream, I'm like, I don't have time to deal with this.
Oh
The best part is that is absolutely what Mojo would do. He would get a Pinterest board
That's
with his favorite things and then communist ideas.
if you
Oh
saw
my
a
God.
picture of my dog, he does kind of
Oh.
look like he might be a secret communist.
Absolutely.
And then I found a Pinterest board that said communism.
Yep.
Fuck, what a
And I
left
wouldn't even be
turn.
surprised. Yeah.
God
If you've
damn it.
seen Mojo's face, he's very disapproving of everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
It's
I think
very
that dream,
Russian. Yeah.
Jenna has concerns because her dog goes to doggy daycare and enjoys it too much because he has dog friends and like a secret life. So I think that's what that dream was hinting at, is
Yeah, I think
about
I
how you
feel
feel about
like
him
I feel
having
left out of
friends.
my own dog's social life, 'cause they're like, I saw a thing on this dog daycare, 'cause apparently that's the kind of person I am now, is I bring my dog to a dog daycare. And they were like, this dog's name is Chloe, and here's her best friends, and one of them was my dog. And I'm like, who the hell is Chloe? Who's this? I'm like, I
Aren't you
don't know any of
supposed to
these
be
people.
my best friend?
Yeah.
You know?
God.
Ah, man. Okay, so where this here's what needs to happen now.
Oh, yeah.
Is there needs to be a movie
Yeah.
about a dog. It's like The Secret Life of Pets, but it's
I'm
like
sold.
it's gritty. It's like a gritty spy thriller.
Yeah.
Secret Life of Pets,
Have you
where it
ever
turns out
seen?
somebody's dog is like a Russian asset in
Yeah.
like Putin. I don't know, like it's like a Putin dog, right? And then you find out about it, and then you have to like, it's a big conflict. Like, you know, do I join my dog in his activities, or do I uphold America? You know, you could probably like turn it into a whole
Yeah.
thing that people bitch about being super woke, and that would be cool because fuck those people, you know, that'd be your
I
dog
just
is a
overthrow
con.
the government if my
Look,
dog asks me to.
I
Yes.
think if we just stop the pitch at it's like Secret Life of Pets, but it's a gritty James Bond spy thriller, I think we can get that sold. We can get that
Yeah.
made.
Yeah, I like it.
Yep.
It's like the TV show The Americans, but with pets.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
Just some communist sleeper spies everywhere. Look like
Cool.
the Cold War, but with dogs, I guess.
I
I
love
like
that.
it.
So we're like 15, 20 minutes into this episode now, and we haven't even begun talking about the movie. I hope we're not trying to avoid anything, are we?
No.
We're just at the therapy portion of the show. We have to
Right.
diagnose
Well, and also,
Jenna and how she
it's, you know,
feels.
it's an older movie. I feel like a lot of people have probably seen it. So
Oh,
obviously,
I'm
they want
sure.
to hear us talk about communist dogs instead for a little bit
I
first.
did write a lot of notes for this episode. I
You
did a
wrote a
lot of
lot
digging.
of notes.
I wrote a lot of notes.
Nice.
Okay.
So I am prepped. Should
Okay.
I start by reading the IMDb summary
I
for The
think
Cabin
that's
in
the
the
best
Woods?
one. I looked at the one on Hulu because that's where I watched it. It's not so great. In fact, I don't think it's good at all. I don't know if you've seen it, but it doesn't make any
I
sense
am.
to me.
Oh,
Fucking
I don't trust
Hulu.
Hulu.
Anyway, yes,
Hulu.
please read the summary.
Okay, the summary of The Cabin in the Woods. Five college friends head out to a remote cabin for a getaway, but things don't go as planned when they start getting killed. They soon discover that there is more to the cabin than it seems. The Cabin in the Woods, 2011, rated R, hour 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Jenna, would you like to hit us with your spoiler-free thoughts on The Cabin in the Woods?
Oh, man. I can't do, like, nearly as good of a job as Michelle does of that, though. No way. I don't know.
I don't want the detailed
summary.
I just want your spoiler-free thoughts. Your spoiler-free thoughts and your score.
Yeah, okay. I mean, for me... All right. Spoiler-free thoughts. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Sorry, I'm a guest.
Would you like Michelle to start so you can put your thoughts together?
No. I got it. Spoiler-free thoughts. This movie is super fun. If you haven't seen it before, you're gonna start watching it and be like, "What is happening right now?" And you're gonna think it's not even gonna be as cool as it turns out to be, because I remember watching it for the first time and I'm like, oh, this is like all the same stuff I've seen before, maybe, kind of. Oh, I see what they're doing here. Okay. And it's a lot of fun. It references so many other like classic horror movies. It touches like on all like the best horror tropes. It just goes in a lot of different places that maybe you wouldn't expect it. It's so self-aware and so funny. Just one of my all-time favorites, not even as like a horror comedy, just as like in the horror genre, because it's just such a fun watch and it's so rewatchable. I notice different things like every time I rewatch it. This has and still is a 5 out of 5 skulls for me.
Woohoo! 5 skulls for The Cabin in the Woods. You pick who goes next, Jenna.
Ooh, yeah, Jenna, you pick. Which of us do you like more?
Ooh,
go.
Okay. Well, I kind of feel like I already know Michelle's thoughts on it. I'm a little less certain of JD's thoughts on it, so I want to have him go next, and we'll kind of sandwich his thoughts in between there.
Yeah, so this movie came out in 2011. I saw it when it was theatrically released, and I agree with you. Like, this movie started out, and I was like, "What even is this? Like, this is just the most run of the mill." And once it gets going, I went into this not even being like the first time I saw it. I went in not even being fully aware that it was horror comedy.
Oh,
right?
Same.
And so that kind of took me aback at that point. But no, this is a movie that any horror comedy, and as I agree with you, any horror fan who just enjoys good, fun filmmaking, everyone should see this at least once.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, so I saw it one other time a few years back. And this is the third time I've seen it when I sat down to watch it. It's interesting to me that you say that you find it utterly rewatchable, like over and over. I feel like I've kind of reached a point where, for me, I don't know how. I don't know that after three watchings, like, this movie had diminishing returns for me, is all I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Like, once I knew what was happening and had kind of a handle on it, and what happened here this time that I was watching it is because I'm so aware of what's going on. I started getting to a point where I started to nitpick things that I never bothered to nitpick before because I was just having so much fun, and I don't want to do that, right? Because this is a good movie that, like I said, everybody should see once. I'm giving it a 5 out of 5 because it's that good. But I also may be saying my goodbyes to it in an interesting way because I don't want to ruin my memory of this movie, and I feel like I might start seeing some things that I don't want to see.
Gotcha.
Okay. My thoughts?
Michelle?
Does anyone want to hear them?
I mean, yeah.
It's a 0 out of 5.
Get the fuck out of here.
Okay. One of my bullet points is also the rewatchability. So I agree with Jenna. High rewatchability, especially at a certain point in the movie, because I have watched so many scenes from that point forward. This is on so many of my friends' lists, as well as like when we talk to people, when we do our podcast info tables, I usually ask people, what's your favorite horror movie? And The Cabin in the Woods undoubtedly has come up more times than any other movie by far. So many people consider this to be the number one horror movie for them, and I think it's because it has a little bit of everything. It is great for horror fans who know a lot about the genre, and it can give you those little fun peeks into all those tropes you're familiar with, but it's still accessible to people who don't consume a lot of horror media. It's very funny at times, but yet the horror is very truly horrific. This is truly a classic. It's hard to determine that something will become a classic film when it's so new, but this is one of a 5 out of 5, obviously.
As a triple five, I
That's a
think
triple
that
five.
technically makes this the highest rated film in the history of the show.
It absolutely does. We've never had a triple
Triple
five.
Five, Cabin in the Woods.
Triple five.
That's good. That man, yeah, I mean, obviously we're gonna have to spoil some things to talk about the rewatchability factor. The one thing I did think of while Michelle was giving us her thoughts there, though, is I do think there's one way that I would be able to enjoy watching this again in the future, and that's being able to show it to somebody who hasn't seen it yet.
Oh,
I think
absolutely.
that experience would be the kind of thing where I could really get caught up in it again, kind of vicariously through them. I don't know if I would ever just sit at home and watch it on my own, but yeah, that thought hit me, and it's the kind of movie where you just kind of gleefully like wait, like it's like, oh, he's gonna fuck. Well, we'll get to the spoiler section.
But no,
Is
I.
it the spoiler section?
We can do the spoiler section.
Yep.
Let's
Re-enter it.
just, guys, if you haven't seen the movie, please pause the podcast, come back when you're done, but go see it. If you're a Hulu subscriber, it's on there. You can get it a whole bunch of places. Don't let us ruin this for you. Don't be a Jenna.
You know,
Watch the movie.
normally I would say that the pausing and coming back to listen to the spoiler is merely a suggestion. But in this particular case, since I did pick this movie and it's that dang good, you should probably take it from me, pause the movie now, go watch it, and then come back because you do not want this one spoiled. And if you haven't seen it yet, oh, you're in for such a treat. I'm like almost
I'm
jealous.
jealous of you. Yes, if you haven't seen this yet, goddamn. Lucky you. Go check it out.
Jenna, who never watches the movie, Jenna is telling you to go watch the movie. That
I
means
don't
something. Go do it.
never not pause it and watch the movie. It's just like
Look,
most of
perception
the
is
time I
reality, and
don't.
we've told everyone you net. Look, just repeat. If I've learned anything at all from Donald Trump cult, it's you just repeat the lie over and over, regardless of whatever factual basis or evidence anybody puts in front of you, you just repeat the lie over and over, and it becomes the truth. Jenna never watches the movies. Jenna never watches the movies. It's
It
the
was
truth.
the last movie that I paused and went and watched and came back to because you told me I had to, JD. What was the one with the circus family?
Where the Devil Roams?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck Cabin in the Woods again here before we get into the spoilers. I have to
Oh,
know what you
no.
thought of Where the Devil Roams.
Oh, I liked it and I liked the way it was shot. It was a beautiful looking movie. But I'm gonna be honest. If I had listened to you guys tell me what it was about and then went and watched it would have been just as I would have taken it in, I think, the same way, just because there's a lot happening. I'm not entirely sure
What
what I
Jenna's trying to
saw.
tell us here is she tends to be just completely unaffected by spoilers. She's still able to go and watch the movie and have a good time, which frankly is something I'm very jealous of because I've literally had entire experiences ruined by a small spoiler. Fucking, I don't know if you heard us bitching about Michelle, what was the movie where Craig Angler posted that article where it said well, I won't tell you
Resurrection.
that. Yeah,
Resurrection.
Resurrection. I won't tell you what the headline said, but it was
Yep.
something where there was basically just pure spoiler right there in the headline, and the guy in charge of Shudder posted it on Twitter the day the movie was released.
Yeah, I remember.
He said, "You'll never see this ending coming," and then it says exactly what the ending is.
Absolutely. I was furious. That's a different kind of spoiler to me. Like, telling me, like, the general gist of, like, a plot line is different than giving away, like, a massive plot point of the movie that changes the whole experience.
Right.
So, yeah, that one, ridiculous. I remember you guys talking about that.
Even more ridiculous because I found out that article actually was originally published when the movie was still making its festival rounds, and the vast majority of people hadn't even been able to see it yet.
Oh.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? Jesus. Anyway.
Yeah, because that particular one, you would not have known that piece of information from, like, any trailers or anything. It was the whole, like, surprise of the movie.
Yeah. So, I feel dumb. I feel kind of bad even talking about the fact that the movie is surprising, because that, to me, even just puts somebody on edge. But, all right, so Cabin in the Woods, that's what we're here for. And now, Michelle, if you don't mind, do you think you could give us your world-famous, often-imitated, never-duplicated plot summary in detail for the Cabin in the Woods?
I can try.
No pressure.
I can try. I was going to say, you always put so much pressure. It was just a thing I was doing, and now there's, like, a lot of pressure, and people say they look forward to it, and then I'm like, I'm not going to do a good job this time, because sometimes I don't, and then you're like, wow, that was really lackluster, and I go, I know, I wasn't feeling it. Don't hype me up.
I'm sorry.
Much. Okay.
I'm sorry. I won't ask again.
That's okay.
Until the
just
next
tell
time
everybody
I ask.
It's the worst part of the show, and then they'll be like, what do you mean? That was my favorite part. And
everybody
that really nice
Michelle, everybody loves this part of the show. Everybody loves you. Stop being a Debbie Downer on
not
yourself.
Everybody. Not everybody. I don't love me. Okay.
Well, I guess we're in the therapy thick of it now. Holy shit.
Oh, we were in the therapy part when Jenna was talking about Mojo and his secret life of pets and his communist rebellion. Okay. My summary of this movie. Okay, so it's a horror movie, and you know that, but yet it opens in an office and is the real horror corporate lifestyle, potentially.
Yes.
But also, the other horror is a cabin. It's in the woods, as the name implies. Spoiler alert.
Always scary.
And there's five people. They're all going to the cabin in the woods because the title told them they had to, or else there wouldn't be a movie. But you also know that there are some corporate people, and they're like making some shit happen. And they're like putting some pheromones in the air to make these ladies have sex with people, like this moose that's up on the wall and looks suspiciously like a wolf. And then there's also like a particular hormone that makes Thor suddenly go, we should split up instead of staying together. And I don't know what chemical that is, but I have questions. Then you start figuring out that whatever's happening, various cities have supernatural things happening. Kyoto has a little Japanese ghost lady who is terrorizing a classroom full of children. And these people, they have a cabin, like a slasher thing. And they go into the basement, like so many slasher films tell them to. And they pick up items and they fuck with them like they're not supposed to. And then everybody gets real excited about them doing that. And then a bunch of zombie family people show up, and now it's a slasher film, but it's not really a slasher film because, holy shit, the stoner guy, he didn't die earlier. We're not left with just the virgin at the end. And then she goes like, me, a virgin? And Sigourney Weaver goes, well, we work with what we have, but that's later. So the virgin lady, she's still alive, but also the stoner guy, but the stoner guy has to die first. That's how it has to be done. And he's like, hey, climb into this grave I found. And she's like, what the fuck? And he's like, also go into this elevator, and I'm going to put us down into the elevator because there's nowhere else for us to go. And all our friends are dead, including the slutty one and the brainy guy and Thor. And she's like, whoa, that guy was Thor? And he goes, yeah, I know. It's crazy, right? He came down from Asgard and he lives here now. And she's like, whoa, I thought he was with Natalie Portman. And stoner guy was like, yeah, me too. But it's a whole thing. I'll tell you sometime. And then they get in this elevator and they start meeting like these creepy people. And they're like, I don't like this. This is a bad idea. Well, too bad. There's no buttons in the elevator. I guess we live here now, but they don't live there now. Somebody takes them out of the elevator, and it's the corporate guys. And so they shoot a guy, and then they open up the elevators, and fucking chaos happens as wave after wave of every magical, mythical, supernatural, and also human terror you can think of, plus a unicorn show up. And they fucking destroy everybody. And everyone's like, man, this sucks. Is this going to count for overtime? And corporate America's like, no, we hate you. Also, we're not covering this under workman's comp or giving you short-term disability because corporate America, fuck off. And the lady's like, no, I can't afford my medical insurance and I'm homeless. And that's the true nightmare that comes from this horror film, is thinking about what happened to those employees and their families and how they are all doing their stuff now. But then at the end, Sigourney Weaver's there and she's like, well, we had to kill you in a very ritualistic manner because the ones below told us to. And the virgin lady's like, well, fuck, I gotta kill the stoner guy, which is really weird because he was clearly the most attractive person in this movie. I don't care what any, they try to beef up Thor and Jesse Williams so much, but like, Fran Kranz, man. Anyway, I have thoughts on that. But then she's like, I'm gonna kill the hottest person in this movie. And Fran's like, oh, please don't. And then she doesn't, because she gets attacked. And then he like kicks the gun away. And then Sigourney Weaver falls into a hole. And then they're like, oh, well, at least the true horror were the friends that we made along the way. And then a fucking arm comes out of the ground. And apparently humanity's doomed now. That was a terrible idea. Thanks so much, Virgin Lady. The end. Kevin Woods.
I was going to say, Michelle, you were like, the real horror is what might have happened to all those. I'll tell you what happened to all those corporate people and their families. They fucking died in the giant hand from under the earth apocalypse. That's
Are you
what
assuming?
Happened to
oh, well,
them.
Yeah, good point.
Well, they died in a lot of like, other really horrific ways first before
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but like
the
their families in particular.
Oh, their
yeah.
families. Families all died. Terrible,
yeah,
horrible death.
They're
too.
Doomed. Yeah.
What if one of them lives in
Did
space?
Did you see
though?
That hand?
Like, what if
that
one of them's related to an astronaut?
It was big.
One of them could be related to an astronaut, though, who's living on the space station. They're looking down and they're like, I can see gigantic people down there. I wonder if Fred's okay.
I don't know if you knew this, Michelle, but you can't stay up in the space station forever. They're going to die.
I know.
Eventually
I'm just saying
too.
They'll be alive for a little bit.
Yeah, but they're going to die because of the apocalypse. Because
We're
the
all
apocalypse is going to prevent them from coming back.
Well, that's true of all of us.
Ugh, so, that's well, that's the worse. Movie.
That's the movie.
Dying in space, I think, is worse.
Ooh,
oh, did you guys ever see that movie, Gravity?
Oh.
Many times. Like, I saw it twice in theaters.
There's this whole thing with George Clooney in that movie that I don't want to spoil, but oh, man, that's one of the most terrifying things I can ever think of ever in my life.
Yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God. It's just fucking great. Horrifying. Great anyway.
If I'm just like in space in general, I think my body will just shut down and die because it's just too, the expanse is too big.
It would be lethal shock. Yeah. I would like to think anyway that it would just be lethal shock.
There's two places that I would just, my body would just shut down and die. One of them is being in space and one of them is like, in a cave, but the cave is like too small to get through and you have to like exhale to go through like a little space, like I'll just die.
How do you feel about The Descent? Let's just not talk about Cabin in the Woods ever. How do you feel about The Descent?
We'll get to it. These people just have to fucking wait. It's fine.
Yeah,
The Descent,
he gave you a 3-hour Saw episode. What did you expect?
The Descent makes me nauseated by how, like, that people do that. People do that shit where they go into the little tiny space. Like, there's one scene, and it's not a spoiler if you haven't seen The Descent. But it's a bunch of cave divers or whatever. And they got to get through these little areas. And there's this one part, you know, where they got to, like, they're wedging their shoulders in there because it's so tight and they have to like exhale to continue moving forward. And there's like some water in there. So it's like
right
by their face and they're like just getting stuck in there. And people
going in
do this on purpose.
No concern whatsoever about whether or not they're going to be able to get back fucking out.
If you get I'm sorry, if you get stuck in a cave underground, you're just stuck there. You're going to die.
Yeah.
It's rock.
It's madness.
I don't know why.
But sometimes it takes several days and people break your legs trying to get you out and they don't succeed. And now you're just stuck upside down forever, like that one guy who died that way.
That Nutty Putty cave.
Yep.
Gross.
Well.
Wow.
Ugh. Okay.
All right. Oh, good night, everybody.
I have Capital so many Woods. Notes.
Yeah, so yeah, it's a class. Like, everybody at this point who's a serious horror fan knows about this movie, right? And I don't know a single person who's had a bad thing to say about it. Some people like it more than others, obviously, but it's so clever in how it repurposes all these tropes with just a very simple plot device of, like, and it's not even like this idea like where all these other horror movie incidents really happen too, because they got to do this like every 3 days to keep these fucking things asleep, right? But it's using those ideas and just fucking hilarious comedy. The fucking merman just,
oh my, the merman
cracked me the fuck up. Dude was just devastated that it wasn't the merman. He's like, I just want to see a merman. And then he finally sees one. First of all, the merman is fucking hideous.
Ugh.
And then it eats his face.
I love it.
Fucking fantastic.
The first mention of the merman, the two main facility guys, because all right, we gotta back up just a little bit here to get to where it needs to be. So it's, like we said, it's five college friends, and it's like the typical five that are always in the horror movie. You know, you have like the slutty girl, which I think they're classified in the movie as like the whore, the fool, the virgin, the athlete, and the scholar.
Yes.
So it's like your typical, very stereotypical group of people, and so it's just very clever in the way that it does that, because, you know, you've seen that so many times, but the way that they explain why it's like always those five people in like a group in a horror movie is very funny. But yeah, so they go down to the cellar, and there's all these like trinkets and stuff, and everyone's doing something different, and it's very dramatic, like the music, because everybody is so close to like unlocking something different. Thor's got a puzzle box, and you're like, oh shit, he's almost got that, like, that
just a completely obvious nod to Hellraiser.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
Even when you get to the guy at the end where you see who had that ball thing. Also, I feel like a little bit at the same time, kind of a nod to the Phantasm series with the spherical kind of orb kind of vibe of the thing.
Yeah.
But dude, that dude with the fucking saw, like circular saw blades in his face, personally for me, way cooler than Pinhead. Fuck, I love that guy.
Yeah, he was cool.
And he's my favorite of all the monsters in that whole ending sequence.
Jules
I
is like,
love that guy.
Is like almost putting on this amulet that you just know is bad news. Dana's like reading from this old journal that's in Latin. And like, it's just all this stuff that you know from horror movies. Like, don't do that because something bad's going to happen. And I remember who the scholar guy, I can't remember what his name is in the movie. Is it Holden?
Holden.
He's like
Jesse
holding
Williams.
Like a conch shell. And he's like listening to it, and he puts it down and does something else. And then that's when the two guys at the facility is like, he had it in his hand. Like, I'm so close to getting a merman. And then the other guy's like, sorry, man, you know, they're so messy to clean up after, though. And then that comes back later when he does finally get his merman, is you're like, oh, that's disgusting.
Yeah, it's all,
he's just
all
blowhole and blood everywhere.
Yeah, if first you're like, oh yeah, he's all slimy and mucky and gross, he would be awful to clean up after. And then not only does he eat the dude's face, but it's just fucking like Kill Bill blood geyser just all over the place,
spraying blood out of his blowhole, and like, ugh.
God, it was, yeah, it was so just. The climax of this movie is just so over the top and so absurd. And again, so many homage, even just like when you have the elevator room, right, or the sliding door room where there's all those guys in, and like the lights go out, or, like all the monsters rush in and the lights go out, and when the lights come back up, blood everywhere, total nod to The Shining, right? It's like there's just layers and layers of references like that, that I do agree with you. The more times I've seen this, I've caught more of those along the way. And God damn it, they put a lot of layers and a lot of detail into this movie.
I would like to raise my hand and have a chance, if I may.
Sorry.
No, this is just like the perfect moment. If anybody listens to this podcast and you don't know us three in real life, this is kind of how it goes. I just like to hang back and like let people talk. And then I'm like, hey, guys, want to hear a funny joke? Waka waka. And then I just go back to like lingering. I'm only there at the prime moments where it matters. And this is my moment. I watched An Army of Nightmares, which is the behind the scenes footage of the making of the monsters. And this is a huge part of why I think there's huge rewatchability here, because there are so many monsters. Like, if it was just the beginning half of this film, yeah, I could get like not wanting to rewatch it over and over and over again. But when shit pops off, like, I never get tired of watching for new things. Okay, so first off, this was just like a gigantic production where they said, we want as many practical effects as possible. So basically everything was a practical effect unless it was completely impossible, like the wraiths of flying around. But pretty much everything, if it could be built, they were going to do it. And they asked everybody on the cast and the production team, what are you most afraid of? We're going to make that. So they just had like this idea and completely fleshed out concepts of what they were going to create. This is apparently based on a book that I desperately need to read now because I have not read the original book. There's a guy in the book that is not in the movie at all. His name is Kevin, and it's just Kevin, and he just looks like a normal guy, but he's based on like so many different evil guys, like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho. He's based off the guy from Sin City. Basically just every psychopath. He just likes causing pain, and his item to summon him is a videotape. So that's why they think that he might be Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, because he's like, I have some tapes to return, please. Right. So there's just like a ton of stuff. So many creatures were created and then not used at all. So we only know what they look like because of behind the scenes footage or stuff from like deleted scenes. They never made the final cut. Like, there's a guy, the Blob. He is like the Blob. He's just a big, blobby, slimy guy, completely created. The only time you see him is in a deleted scene or behind the scenes footage. He just does not exist in this movie. They made an entire fucking Blob and then didn't make him. They made most of the Left 4 Dead monsters, like the Witch and Boomer and Tank. Those all exist and are not in the movie. I'm just going to tell you some of my favorite monsters, because I found the Cabin in the Woods fandom.com where it lists all the monsters and then specifically all the details that we know about those monsters based on the movie and the book. And then also like what summons them and where do they appear exactly. And here's the pictures we have. My favorite ones from those lists. First off, the top of the list, because it's alphabetical, was Angry Molesting Tree.
Yeah.
He appears twice.
Evil Dead.
His name is, he is Angry Molesting Tree. And all he does, they're like, oh, it's presumed that he kills his people in a sexual manner. And one of the times that you kill, he drags somebody into the elevator with him and then just blood flies out. So I'm like, how did he molest him? What happened? Terrifying. And then you just have clowns, but yet we only see one clown. But when he's on screen, man, that's a pretty good, I can see why people don't like that. We got the Deadites from Evil Dead in there. We got the Dolls, which are the just silent moving masked like strangers people who are just like, meh, I'm here. The Saw guy, who's a tribute to Hellraiser, his name, they call him Hell Lord a lot, but his full name is Fornicus, Lord of Bondage and Pain. So yeah, absolutely.
Love
Hellraiser.
It. Fornicus, yeah, Lord of Bondage and Pain. Yes.
That's what they called me in high school.
Fuck you, Pinhead. So, Pinhead. Get the
so
fuck
good.
Out of here.
I know. I love Hellraiser, but God, Fornicus. And then Merman. Merman shows up, as we've talked about. Sugar Plum Fairy is that ballerina lady. Mm-hmm. We got just a unicorn.
With the toothpaste?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the toothpaste. Jesus, that's the Sugar Plum Fairy.
That fucks me up every time I see
it.
I
love
it. Damn, that whole kind of like I can't look at lampreys. There's the rings and rings. Fuck.
And for some reason, I forget that's what her face looks like every time I've watched it, too. And I'm like, oh, a little ballerina girl. Like, is she just... Now, since that Abigail trailer came out, I'm like, oh, is she something ballerina?
Like,
and then she turns around. I'm like, oh, no, different. Totally different.
You're a tooth lady. We got the unicorn. We got the doctors, which for me in particular, I have a thing about medical horror. They are just there to do operations that they are not licensed to do. Fucking hate that. You see them briefly in the movie, and every time it makes me shudder because they just have a guy like strapped to a table saying, please don't cut me. And I hate that.
That one, I think, is maybe a nod to House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah. I don't like doctors. I don't like it. And then the last one I want to mention is just because it's such a fucking ridiculous name and I want to know who had this fear and why did they make it and what else happens. It's just man in transparent tarp. It's just a man. He's wrapped in a transparent tarp and he's killing people.
I mean, I'd be scared if I saw that.
Yeah. I don't care what it is.
I read
the
page for
kill people. I'm going to be scared.
I looked up every single fandom page for every single monster that we know of that appears in this movie or is mentioned in the book, and I read all of them, and those are my favorites by far. But man in transparent tarp or angry molesting tree might be the best.
Okay, before I forget, because this tied something together that I couldn't quite figure out ever before until Michelle just mentioned it. So one of my favorite parts of the movie is kind of towards the beginning when all the departments are taking bets on what they're going to pick, like that's going to kill them. And they have that big dry erase board that has all the different things. And they're like, oh, I think maintenance wins. Hang on, I have it in here. But
yep.
Oh yeah, they're known
maintenance
wins for the prediction
and Ronald the intern.
Yeah, and Ronald, he's like, woo! And then they're that one.
I love
lady
Tom
like,
Link,
well,
by the way.
Yeah. She's like, that's not fair. I picked zombies, and he's like, well, I'm sorry, but zombies and zombie redneck torture family are two different things. And I paused it because I wanted to read some of the other things that are on that board. And some of the things, there's alien beast, mutants, sexy witches, hell lord, angry molesting tree, scarecrow folk, dismemberment goblins, merman, unicorn, and Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin.
I know, but I'm like,
Kevin.
But I did not know what Kevin was. I was just funny.
Yeah. No. It's just fucking hilarious that they have all of these things and then there's just Kevin.
I know, and so I was like, I wonder if Kevin's just like some friend of production or something, or they're like, let's just put like a random guy on here. But now tying into the guy from the book, which I did not know about, so I'm like, oh, that's Kevin. Okay, that makes more sense. But the monsters that they made for this are just so fun. Just absolutely phenomenal usage of different nods to different movies and just coming up with kind of some new characters, too, that we haven't seen before.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
A couple of things about like that I really liked is even with all the different monsters that they suggest, and even though the monster that it ends up being is total MacGuffin, right? It has like the real bad guys are the people running the show. Out of everything I saw, I feel like for a couple of reasons, the Buckners are the one that I would want to see a movie about, right? First of all, I just like creepy like redneck family sort of torture kind of stuff. Also, just on a surface level, Zombie Redneck Torture Family is a great fucking title. I would watch that movie a zillion times. It has the same rhythm as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You could say Zombie Redneck Torture Family. I would watch every time I hear that, it just makes me fucking explode laughing. It's so goddamn funny. And I want to see that movie. I want to see the Buckners. I want to see Zombie Redneck Torture Family. Make it happen.
It's so highly specific. You know exactly what you're getting when you go to that, yeah. You know?
I love that. Husband's bulge. That's what you're getting.
Husband's bulge.
He has the husband's bulge.
He walks by while they're on the couch and he's just like, he has a husband's bulge. It's fucking great.
Oh, so good.
I love
I'm
Marty.
Just going to tell you my favorite monsters from the novel that I wish we had gotten in the movie just because of their names. There's dog with an alligator head. There's a lot more than this. The dog with an alligator head. Exploding shard babies. Infant creatures. Man with steaming pipes in his chest. Snake pubic hair woman. And woman with a toothed vagina.
Man that with little... smoking pipes in his chest.
Yeah.
I don't
I don't know. I'm not even sure why.
Dog with an alligator head.
Dog with alligator head.
I do want to see dog with alligator head. On a scale.
I want it to be like a chihuahua and a fully adult alligator.
Yeah. On a scale of the ones you just listed, I would want to see dog with alligator head the most and the vagina dentata the least, I think.
Yeah, we've already seen that movie.
I'm really conflicted about whether or not I would want to or very much not want to see exploding babies.
Exploding shard babies.
Exploding shard babies. Okay.
Yes.
I don't know what the difference is.
They burst into hundreds of shards. But they do
still explode.
Yes, they explode into hundreds of shards of an unknown material.
Oh.
I want to see exploding babies.
What if the material they explode in is tiny babies?
Oh no, a baby exploding into hundreds of babies.
One baby.
Oh, the responsibility.
That explodes into 100 tiny babies.
God, the sound of those children crying would be so high pitched and awful.
But also quiet. Because
they're small,
they're
so it'd be even
now.
More. But there's so many of them. It's like a bee. A bee's still annoying if there's hundreds of them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
These are babies.
Babies.
And they're just little and screeching.
All of a sudden, there's like...
We have so many tiny diapers that need to be changed. I hope you baby-proofed your home. I hope you put those plastic things in the outlets so we don't put things in them. We're going to grow up and need you to pay for college for us. We had a fight at school, and now you need to go to a parent-teacher conference, but like 100 times because there's so many of us. Childcare is going to suck. For cost wise, because daycare is expensive and there's hundreds of us. You're going to have to be a stay at home mom. You're going to have to be with us 24/7. I hope you don't like sleeping. I'm good not having children.
Oh,
you're the oldest of five. I've been there.
I just started thinking about how
don't want 100 tiny. Children.
Oh yeah, like I was just started thinking about like what if that's the nightmare of the exploding shard baby, right? Is it explodes into hundreds of tiny babies and they don't kill you, they just like land on you and now you just got a baby and you can't you just gotta take care of a baby now. That would be
like if the shard hits you, you're like, great, guess this is my responsibility for 18 years
fuck,
now.
Guess I gotta take care of this goddamn baby.
Great.
Oh, that would be phenomenal.
If I had to pick my most favorite part of the movie, just because there's a lot of absurd things in this movie, but one of my favorite parts is when Kurt, a.k.a. Thor, a.k.a. one of the Hemsworth, decides that he's going to, like, jump that ravine on his dirt bike.
Yes.
And then Holden, who is supposed to be, like, the scholar, is, like, telling him, like, the calculation of, like, how he needs to get over it. And it's this, like, well-thought-out thing. And then Dana's like, you know, you're our hero. And she, like, kisses him on the cheek. And what it, and Holden's like, go big or whatever, and he's like, I always do. Like, it's so dramatic, and it just feels like every like sports movie, like every like generic sports movie you've ever seen. And he like turns around and he goes, and it's like dramatic music, and it's like slow motion, and he's like jumping, and then he hits that like
That
field,
fucking grid.
that invisible field, and just falls into the nethers just forever, and they're just
Oh
like,
yeah.
ah.
He doesn't just crash, he goes fucking pinballing down the side of this thing like
He
eight
just
times, just
falls
clunk,
into
clunk, clunk, clunk.
oblivion. Like, he just
Just the
is gone.
abyss.
He's in the earth now. Like, it's so ridiculous. I love that part so much because it's
It's
just like,
great.
it's so dramatic, and they play it up just perfectly. Like, he's gonna be the hero, and then he just dies and falls into an oblivion pit. Like, it's so fun.
It's so great. Oh my God. The movie is just I do want to talk about what I was saying. So like again, because I have seen this movie a couple of times, here's the big thing that happened this time I was watching it, and I was like, oh, I don't like. So obviously the movie, like the idea is not that like these are horror movie tropes. It's just the movie is using horror movie tropes to tell its story, right? But the idea is that these corporate people are an agency that is a descendant of people who have been doing this for a couple thousand years, apparently a long time. And they have all of this technology, and the movie is supposed to be sort of a meta critique of tropes of horror movies. And at no point whatsoever did any of those people say, can we get visual confirmation on the fool's corpse before we pull this lever? And I had that thought, and I was like, I can't. Like, I felt bad because I could feel all at that moment, I could just feel like these spiders going out into it and the whole thing just starting to crack. And I don't want to feel that about this movie, but I did have that experience. It's just like, because that's a common horror movie trope as well, right? That if you don't actually see the death, they're probably not dead. And then they come back in the final act. Like, I immediately assumed that's exactly what was going to happen, even the first time I saw this, because we don't see him, we don't see his corpse. And if I don't see his corpse, it's a horror movie that's about murder. Why would they not show you him dying? That's what the whole fucking movie's about, right? So I started to think about that, and I was just like, I don't want to start looking at this movie from that perspective. I just I want this movie to remain for me like the experience I had watching it. And I'm really worried that if I watch it too many more times, I'm just gonna start nitpicking it apart.
Well, the true fools are the people who didn't report back with confirmation of the body. I do wonder if when they said that there was that glitch and that they didn't get the command to shut down the cave, if there was also a glitch in that communication and nobody said like, "Hey, we can still see him. We have eyes on him." Like, nobody could communicate because they were like, "Yeah, we didn't get the command about the cave coming down either."
Yeah, but that happens like it's the kind of thing that like 'cause I see what you're saying, but with the cave in, it was a thing where once they realized it hadn't happened, they went and dealt with it immediately. But like in this case, if it was like something technically wrong with the comms, like or something along that line. Like, why wouldn't it have been like, oh, we're getting no response from this department. Get down there and figure out what the shit is going on. And then they run down there and they're like, the fool isn't dead.
Yeah. I'm
See,
just trying to make it so you like the
this
movie
is what
again.
I don't want to do.
Yeah,
This
I think.
is exactly what I don't want to do.
So, personally, I think that is like a little intentional on the movie's end because they do, they use these tropes and they mock these tropes, but then There's that one particular thing that happens so often in other movies too, that like it to me that feels intentional, that they were like, oh, didn't confirm it. And I think there's a couple, well, I remember thinking too when I was watching it recently that there was like, you didn't really see some of the other kills either, like happen like on screen, like we as the viewer don't see it. And I think maybe too, like in that facility, they were just so, they were everywhere else is failing. So they're like, okay, we're the ones that have to do this. So, all right, let's just get through this. All right, he's dead. That he totally got Bucknerd. Moving
I can
on.
see that. I can
Because they're
see
like
that.
this,
Yeah.
because they're like this stoner idiot. There's no way he's gonna survive. Let's just move on and forget
Right.
about him and completely misunderestimate him. When he
I
like
see.
has a little bit of that final girl energy that they didn't count on, you
Oh,
know?
for sure. For sure. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that's a solid point. But again, like just that whole experiencing that thought process
Yeah.
just about it just really kind of rattled me because look at the end of the, yeah it, of course it's still absurd. It's a horror movie. So it's yeah it's I don't know so many you said something there actually that I wanted to you said we don't see like I'm pretty sure we do see everybody like obviously we don't see Dana get killed because Dana survives till the big hand at
You
the
don't
end.
see Jules' head get cut off. You only know what happens. They hold up the saw and she screams. You don't see it get cut off. You only know what happened because when Dana opens the
Isn't
door later, he throws the head into the cabin.
this is interesting because I in my man and now I'm gonna have to go back and watch it because I'm wondering if this isn't like a like a weird Texas Chainsaw Massacre meat hook thing. In my memory, I feel like I very clearly remember a close-up shot of the saw slicing a neck.
Nope. You do
Nope.
not see it.
Well, I'll be
Nope. It is
goddamn.
a close-up of her face screaming and then it cuts away.
And then the dude gets splattered with blood, though, right?
I don't think so.
No, I think that's just like the cutaway scene.
Because I specifically noted it when I was watching
Oh,
that you don't
that's
see her death,
wild.
and I wasn't fully paying attention because I've
Okay.
watched this so many times, and I was like, wait, what happened to her again? Because you don't actually see her die, she just screams.
That's all right. That's wild because I have like I in my memory, like and it's clearly a testament to the effectiveness of that scene, right?
Right. Like
Because in my memory, I remember it being much more violent and graphic than like. I remember seeing the thing that was implied, and that's wild.
Yeah, and that's why I think that because Marty, it would technically have been like the second death, and you don't see that happen. He just gets drug off screen with like a machete in his back, I believe. And so after not seeing Jules get killed, even though you know she gets killed because Thor comes running back to the cabin and says that she does, and then one of the Buckners throws her severed head into the cabin. You don't see her die on screen. And so I think they did that intentionally, maybe it to kind of like make that second death with Marty not seem as suspicious as it was. Because then you see it, like you see Holden die on screen, you see Thor die on screen, and then Marty and Dana at the end just go down with the
Sure.
hand. But so I think they did that a little bit, maybe intentionally, just to kind of throw you off a little bit, so you're not like, wait, that was the only thing we didn't see. But I will say they must have done a really phenomenal job on that first kill with Jules, because you remember it like
I
seeing it.
remember it being much more violent, like, which is also interesting because when I do stop and think about it, this movie is not as graphically violent or gory as you might think it is, right? There's some
Until
blood
the end.
here. Yeah. Oh,
Right.
well, yeah. And then it gets into absurdity levels, right?
Yeah.
But like, I do want to, and this is another thing that I wish hadn't happened. I did find myself thinking, like, this dude's got a goddamn bear trap on a chain, and he's swinging it around and slamming it into people's backs. How are any of them still walking? Right? It's like that thing.
Yeah.
Adrenaline.
Adrenaline. Yeah, with a snapped bear trap back. Yep. Adrenaline. I see.
Yeah, I'm not coming back from that.
No, that's even Marty, who just gets like a fucking knife or whatever in the, like, that's a big ass knife, and if it got him where the movie suggests it got him, that would definitely puncture a lung, and he's not going anywhere ever again. I need to stop having these thoughts. God damn it.
So director Drew Goddard, this is his first full-length movie he directed.
Yep. Yeah,
and that's a cool.
He worked
fact.
With producer Joss Whedon, who
writer
I have interesting
as well,
thoughts about.
Joss Whedon.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about him very much, but
fucking love Joss Whedon. He made Titan A.E. and Atlantis: The Lost Empire.
Yeah, he's also a complete scumbag, but that's okay.
That's fine. Most people in Hollywood are.
Anyway, he worked with Joss on Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Angel, which
and
I'm
Angel
a huge
and
fan
Dollhouse.
Of.
Dollhouse.
Tom Lenk, who played Ronald the Intern, was one of my fucking favorite characters on Buffy. He played this guy named Jonathan, and he was... No, not Jonathan. Was it Jonathan? Anyway, he was fucking hilarious, and I don't know where I was going with that, but...
Fran Kranz was my
he was on Dollhouse.
Character in Dollhouse. Yep.
With Eliza Dushku, who was also in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
And Bring It On. Let's just do like 7 degrees of separation and just, okay, how do we get from Elisha Dushku? Kirsten Dunst was in Bring It On, and she fucked Spider-Man. That's Tobey Maguire. Okay, Tobey Maguire.
Did she really?
Well, they upside-down
the
kissed.
Fictionally, yeah. That's basically fucking in a Spider-Man film. PG-13.
Everyone knows that if you're gonna upside down kiss somebody, you're gonna go all the way.
Yeah, absolutely. That is not a first date thing. That takes coordination and commitment with a person that you are very fond of and are okay with that not being a silly moment. So
well, maybe I don't know as much about the world as I thought I did.
Yeah, everybody knows that, JD.
We are all just, nobody can see the video except us, but we are all just sinking into our seats more and more. I'm just like,
just getting lower and lower into my surroundings.
I'm just gonna fall off screen entirely. That is my goal. I'm so comfortable. This is probably the episode that's most like us just hanging out in a living room.
I'm
than
not
any
good.
Other episode.
At my desk, I have my laptop on like one of those little like I don't know. It's
tables?
Like a little
They're
table.
Called tables.
It's like a little table that you pull up to the couch with you, so I can.
I have one of
so
those.
I can watch
I'm also 80 years
TV
old.
TV and play like casual games at the same time. So I'm not even sitting at my desk. But
jealous.
Laptop on a couch.
Yeah, I mean,
chair reclines. Let's see
guess...
how much. Whoa!
Oh Jesus!
That's too far.
This is exactly why we need. This is exactly why we do need to start doing this as a video podcast. Holy shit!
That was too much.
That was glorious.
That was way too casual.
That was hilarious. Is what that was. Oh my god, Michelle's gonna break her neck doing this podcast, and that's
Michelle
gonna be sad.
I'll do it for the
Michelle
art.
Was like completely vertical in her chair, or completely horizontal
great.
In her chair.
Like vertical.
Vertical.
Yeah, I was like,
that
oh no,
been
I missed
something.
The
basically
holy shit!
Standing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, I don't. Have we said everything there is to say about Cabin in the Woods?
Let me check my notes real quick.
Oh, one other thing.
Lionsgate. Lionsgate is fucking Lions Great, and I need them to make more things because every time I see them, I get very happy. They did Saw, and they did Cube, and they did Hostel, and they did Twilight, as I now know, as one of the greatest movie series of all times after I watched it 2 months ago. So, like, that Lionsgate is Lions Great, and I need them to make more films. Their list is very short of films that they've done.
Two other minor things that I enjoy about this movie. One, they never really fully explain it. The movie starts when the two guys are talking about like what's gonna happen, and he's like, "You know, it's gonna go great because we haven't had a glitch since '98, and it was definitely
Yes,
Tim
I wanted to
Cameron's
know
fault."
about 98.
And they reference the chem department fucking up like a few times, but they never really like,
Yep.
explain what it was or anything. It's just like kind of this weird ongoing joke that they like mention a few times. And then the other part that for some reason just really gets me is the second time that they show the footage from Japan or from Kyoto. And the first time we see the footage, it's like this, I don't know, this banshee like causing all these little Japanese schoolgirls to scream and they're fleeing in terror. And the second time we see it, they're like holding hands and singing a song. And the banshee like turns into a frog, and then they
A
all are
happy
like,
little frog.
"Yay!" And they're celebrating. And the guy at the facility is like, "Fuck you, fuck you!" Like to these little girls on the screen. And I don't know why, but that part really cracks me up.
It's absolutely fucking phenomenal. And that does bring me to a thing that I did want to make sure we talked about a little bit more in detail that Michelle mentioned earlier on when she was doing the recap of the story, is I really liked the detail of people are carrying out not the same ritual, but
Yeah.
similar purposed
Region specific.
rituals that are specific to the tropes and commonalities. Like I don't know a lot about like the other places, but like the Japanese horror stuff, like I got it right away,
Yeah.
right? Like that was the one where I was like, okay, I get it. These are, and they mentioned something about how like it's different in different cultures. They like just
Yeah.
briefly in passing, but I loved that detail. That was so great.
Yeah. So all around the world, every culture has kind of its different things that are relevant probably in like their horror or their cinema. And I think American cinema has showcased enough of like has brought enough like Japanese horror, or people have seen enough of that to like kind of know what is going on there a little bit. So that's probably why they used that one as the example. But I love, yeah, so they're like, well, in American horror cinema, it's always like these five friends, and each one is a very specific and different role. But that might not, that's not the case for other countries and other cultures. So it's just, yeah, it's fun that they're just like, all right, well, we're counting on all these other places. Somebody's got to get it right, and everybody has failed. So it's up to us to make sure that this happens. And they're like, doesn't really matter if the final girl makes it or not. She just has to be the last one left. Doesn't matter if she dies or
She
not.
just has to suffer.
Yeah.
My favorite tiny detail that I did not mention is the Harbinger. I love him.
He's
He's so funny. Where they're
fantastic.
like, the Harbinger's calling, and they're like, can you send him to voicemail? No, he's really persistent. And then he
Am I on
just says all these
speakerphone?
prophetic things.
And is
Yeah, to
that,
my own
yeah,
speakerphone.
and it's the creepy guy from the gas station, like at the
Yes. And he's
beginning,
the
where you're like,
Harbinger of
oh, of
doom.
course, there's a creepy guy, old man at a gas station who's like really ominous, and then he's in on the whole thing anyways.
Oh, it's so good.
It's beautiful.
That's my closing thought. Also, Ripley was behind the whole thing, and that is just a great
Yeah.
nod to a
Sigourney
film. Like, they had
Weaver.
an alien beast, but they didn't have like a full-blown like xenomorph, and so it's pretty cool that they're like, hey, Sigourney Weaver, people are gonna know who you
Yeah, I
are.
love that she just
Also,
comes out of nowhere for this last minute cameo as the director.
yeah, I was gonna
Yep.
say super cool that she and her no doubt huge team of agents and people all understood that it was crucial to this movie that she not be credited anywhere until the end of the film. No
Yep.
name on the poster, no name in the credits up front. And
Yeah.
if you pay attention early, like going back and watching it again, when you hear the voice that first time, it's so goddamned obvious who it is. But the thought just never crosses your mind the first time you see it, right?
No, is
It's,
you're just not expecting that at all.
no, you just hear a woman's voice. And then once you know who it is, it's, I, yeah, of course it is. How did I not recognize it?
Right. That's the way you
Really
do
well
a
done.
good cameo. Perfect. It was great.
Well,
no notes.
That's how you do a really good guest appearance on We Watch Shudder, Jenna.
Whoop, whoop.
And you cover 15 movies in the span of time. So now I've learned
a lot
about Cabin in the Woods, but I've also learned that you have seen more than 10 movies, and those 10 movies were the Saw movies. Those were the only ones I knew that you had seen.
Now, well, I mean, let's be fair.
What?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I wasn't saying nothing, Jenna.
No, you go first, because this was kind of my closing thought, and I don't want to do that and then have you talk for it.
Oh, okay. Well, now I don't even know for sure what I was going to say.
I'll just tell you a random thing. So in Saw, have you ever noticed that it's a lot like 9/11?
I have to read this. I must know. We'll put it up on, if you're willing, we'll put it up on the Ghoul blog. You can get some feedback from our listeners.
I'll summarize. It's too much.
I want the full 45-page
version. And not only that, but I got way too into it where I was like pausing.
I love your screenshots.
Oh, I sent good Michelle. I was like, I have to tell somebody about this. So like
the binders.
The movies get dumber and dumber as they go on. You know that. And like that, you can tell there's a point. I want to say it's like 4, maybe 5 now, where they just stop trying, because there's places, like there's one particular scene where they're like, somebody picks up a book, like the author wrote this book about Jigsaw, and there's such a blatant typo in the title of this book, and they don't even bother to fix it. Like, they just put it in the movie, and it's so dumb, and I'm like, all right, you didn't even bother. And then there's a couple other places too where I'm like, the editing is just so awful, like just very minimal effort. I'm like, all right, well, I guess you know why people are watching these now. It's not for the top-notch plot anymore. So
my favorite one you sent me was when he's in the police station and there's a bunch of binders, and one of the binders just says potential Jigsaw victims. Like, oh, you're not going to like talk to those people? Like, how did you determine what this list was?
In like the FBI file storeroom, and there's just a bunch of like little file holders that, yeah, they just say potential Jigsaw victims. And the one guy is like looking like, where's the thing I need? And he's like, oh, this one, potential Jigsaw victims, that's the exact one I'm looking for, and just takes like the whole thing. Like, yeah. It's so dumb. Yeah.
Anyway, I remembered what I was going to say before I interrupted your final thought, and it was, Michelle was talking about, I know you've at least know you've seen 10 movies, and I was going to come to your defense and say, now, Michelle, be fair, all we know for sure is she doesn't watch the fucking movie before she listens to the podcast. That's all we know for sure.
Okay. And
I don't know. Jenna's entire personality as a huge horror fan could be a lie that she just like very quickly Wikipedias before she has conversations with anyone.
That would be.
I
would have to respect that effort from somebody to just completely manufacture a personality. I would be just so shocked by the level of conviction to the bit that I couldn't even be mad.
Yeah, Michelle, what if I just wanted to be your friend so bad that I just Wikipedia'd a bunch of random horror movies in anticipation that those are the ones you would talk about, and so I could act like
exactly.
I knew something about them.
Yeah, I met Jenna backstage at a burlesque show, and I said something about horror because I was doing a ghost burlesque routine, and she's like, yeah, I kind of like horror in the way that Jenna talks. That's my impression of you. Oh, yeah. I like horror. And I was like, what? And like, then I just went off. I was like, oh my God. Oh, God, talk to me.
I was like, oh, Nina, I like ghosts or whatever. And then
ghosts?
I was like, we like ghosts. Goats? Ghosts.
Yeah, I like goats.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. I also like ghosts. I felt like
you also
a kid
like
in
goats?
Kindergarten when you're. I do like goats. They're fucking great. Have you seen them? They go, nah! And that's awesome.
I
you ever seen a ghost goat?
I know a lot of random goat facts, too, though.
I like that they have 4 legs. Do you know that about goats? Okay.
Goat
Most
meat
of them,
is
anyway.
The number one red meat consumed in the world.
Goat is delicious.
Oh, that makes sense. It is pretty good.
I get a goat India curry a every now and then. Yeah, I get a little goat curry. Yeah. That's so good.
That makes sense.
Pretty good.
All right, guys.
I would like to take one quick moment to defend myself from all the shit that you guys have talked about me from not watching the movie. Two things. My attention span is like pretty bad, and I'm not gonna
lie. You and
me
both.
I like to listen to you guys explain the movie to me because it's like two of my friends telling me a fun story, and that's pretty neat. Aww. And then it might be a while before I get to watch the movie anyways, and I'm not going to lie. You could explain a movie to me right now, and tomorrow I could watch that movie and be like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. You know, like I completely forget these things unless it's a massive plot point. I will not remember, like, the amount of times that I have rewatched a movie and not realized that I have seen that movie until, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie.
All the time. All the time.
So it's not that
fantastic.
I want to be spoiled. I'm just not going to, like, remember.
It's just,
so by the time I get around to watching the movie that you guys, like, I'll make a note. I'm
you're
like,
just,
hey, they said this movie was
you're
really
kind
good.
Of. You're kind of immune to spoilers, is what you're saying.
I just forget a lot, I guess. So I'll make a note of the movies that you guys think are really good. And even if I heard you tell me everything about it, it's like I'm watching it for the very first time when I see it anyways.
Wonderful.
Somehow, so.
Like, I gotta tell JD and Michelle about this. That's, oh, wait. They're the reason I know about this
movie.
They
already told me all about it. I just forgot, I guess.
Oh, that's great.
That's all perfectly understandable. We are, of course, not going to stop giving you shit because that's a part of what we do now. So I'm sorry. That's
Jenna,
just,
who never watches the movie, Jenna.
That's fair.
And, Jenna, seriously. Thank you for joining us. This has been a really good time.
And this was a really fun evening. And also, much like the ending of Cabin in the Woods, humanity probably is not worth saving. So I don't know.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They made it all this way till the end of the episode and they're like, fuck. After listening to all of that, I really wish a gigantic god hand would just come out of the ground and squash me. Right,
I mean,
now.
Never just
as,
had one of those days.
As waves.
One of those lives.
Oh god!
Jenna and I quote Simon Says an unhealthy amount.
Oh my god! You guys at home are not going to understand, but that was a hilarious fucking local Fargo reference that just happened. Oh my god.
You ever have one of those days? Yeah. I've had one of those lives.
Oh my god.
That's way more ominous.
Well, everything I do is way more ominous than him.
All right, JD has officially melted into his chair now.
I laugh melted into my chair. Well,
the best form of melting is laugh melting.
Well, Jenna,
you're not going to change my mind on that one.
Yeah, laugh melting is a good way. So
a good way to melt.
Michelle, do you remember what the next episode is? It's going to be episode.
I do.
It's going to be episode number 200. And which one is episode
200? I'm so mad at you.
It's our Earth Day special, Michelle, and it's dropping tomorrow. What is it, Michelle?
I'm so mad about it. We watched all four Toxic Avengers.
Well, one of us did.
One of my notes. Well, yeah, one of us watched all four of them, and it was me. We'll get into that.
I gave you the option to not watch it.
Yeah, I was already committed, though. You made me sit through three. I wasn't going to not see how it ended. We sat through all four.
It. Guess we'll hear.
You'll have to listen
we'll
and hear.
We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll all find out together.
Awesome.
Yeah, one of my big notes I wrote in like gigantic text because I have a little clipboard with a little pen when I'm preparing for the show. I wrote in gigantic letters, I am not having fun during either two or three. So
great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be talking about the Toxic Avenger. We just updated the schedule on the website. We watch shudder.com. with pretty much everything that's coming through the beginning of June. So go check that out. We're still looking for recommendations for Halloween horror movies to watch in October for Spooktober this year. If you have one of those, hit us up on social medias or wherever. Let us know what it would be. And one last thing, as of today, we talked about it briefly before, but it is official. We Watch Shudder is a sponsor of the Chicago Horror Film Festival. It's the halfway to Halloween Fest this year. They're doing not one, but two editions, and we're going, I'm going to be actually on hand at the festival here at the beginning of May. I don't know if anybody out there listening is going to be there, but if you are, come say hello. I'll be wearing the We Watch Shudder t-shirt. You won't be able to miss me. It'd
that
be pretty
is cool.
Yeah.
I won't be there. I'll be in Vegas.
Yeah, why are you going to Vegas, Michelle?
For business, but then for pleasure.
That's stupid. You should just quit your job and come to Chicago.
Well, no, because then I don't get a free trip to Vegas. And one of the things I'm going to do is go to the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum. It's research for the show.
All right. Well, you seem like a nice person, but I'm going to need you to shut the fuck up now. Say goodnight, Jenna.
Bye.
That's not what I told you to say.
Not the instructions.
That's, God damn it. All right.
You had one
Fine.
Job.
You had goodnight, one, Jenna. One job.
No,
oh,
too
my
late.
God. Say goodnight, Michelle.
Boys.
Oh man.
How do we okay. we can't say, get say, we can't get out of this unless one of us
JD.
Says it. Good night, JD.
Good night, Michelle.
Bye.
All right, we're done.
Okay. I'm actually gonna stop recording now. Okay, bye.
For more horror content, visit WeWatchShudder.com, where you'll find our world-famous, patent-pending Ghoul Blog and Squelch Files, as well as a schedule of upcoming episodes. Find us on social media, at WeWatchShudder, on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and, I guess, Twitter, if you're still doing that for whatever reason. You can email us, mail@WeWatchShudder.com is the address, mail@WeWatchShudder.com. You can even call and leave us a voicemail, 701-566-9510. No, really, 701-566-9510. Give it a shot, see what happens. We Watch Shudder is a production of Rat Factory Media.